The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. Jesus and his disciples came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The Gospel of the Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I want you to take a moment and imagine yourself in a crowded, noisy place. Maybe it's a sporting event or a concert, perhaps a busy airport or train station, maybe a parade or a march in your city or town. Or somewhere else that you've been, somewhere you can clearly see in your mind. A memory from a time when you've been surrounded by the press and noise of a large crowd surrounding you. Now imagine there's a commotion up ahead, and someone starts to yell loudly above the crowd. I wrote those words early last week as an invitation to imagine ourselves in the crowd that day as the blind man Bartimaeus cried out. But when I read them last night, even though they were my own words, and even though I knew why I had written them, my heart was racing the way it is right now. Because all I could think about was the honest fact that at this point in time, if I were in a crowded place and there was a commotion and someone started yelling above the noise of the crowd, a chill of fear would run through me. And I'd wonder if someone up ahead had a gun. Yesterday's shooting at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh emphasized for us all yet again that no place, even a house of worship, is exempt from the scourge of gun violence in this nation. This violence is rooted in hatred, fueled by anti-Semitism in this case, and it appears in our headlines this week against the backdrop of news about bombs sent to evoke terror among political opponents, about government proposals to define gender and strip civil rights from trans people across the nation. This week has brought into clear focus what we know to be true about our nation at this moment in time, of deep divisions, of fear of other. Last Sunday's New York Times contained an op-ed by the environmentalist and writer Bill McKibben, recounting his experiences of direct threats made against him and his family, of his home address being published by his opponents online, who said that gunmen should come to his house to solve the disagreements they were having over his stance on environmental policy. In the op-ed, he wrote, "What does it say about a society when people just routinely call for the killing of people they disagree with?" And he wrote those words before any of the pipe bombs were even sent last week. We've reached a point in our society that we have become convinced that the way our group thinks is the only right way to think, and that anyone who thinks differently is weak, evil, biased, spiteful, or must be stupid. We cut ourselves off from those with whom we disagree, making them more and more into the symbols of all that is threatening to us. And when we encounter someone who is not a part of the group with which we choose to identify, even if we're not prone to the violence that Bill McKibben described, our hatred of all that they represent steers us toward exclusion and marginalization. In a week with so many divisions brought to the surface, it's hard to know where to find hope. "Save, O Lord, your people," the prophet Jeremiah writes, and yet his vision of people gathered from the farthest parts of the world being brought together to walk together beside streams of water, these images are almost gag-worthy in their saccharine sweetness. It seems so far from our reality. Where do we find hope? For me, it's something in the story of Bartimaeus that captures my attention this week. And it's something that does actually give me hope this morning. It's the crowd. The crowd of people gathered there in Jericho that day, and what happens to them over the course of this brief encounter. When Bartimaeus begins to cry out loud and insistent and in violation of social norms and proper decorum, the gathered crowd tries to shut him up. He's not one of them. He's worthless. His suffering is likely his own fault. He's made some bad choices. What right does he have to speak? He has no business being among them at all, and so at least he could just keep quiet. But Bartimaeus cries out all the more. Then Jesus stands still and sees Bartimaeus and beckons him to come forward. "Call him here," Jesus says. Now, there's certainly something hopeful about Jesus seeing the outsider and having compassion for him, but something else happens too. It's subtle, so it almost gets lost behind the miraculous healing of Bartimaeus, but it means everything to us right now. When Jesus sees and loves Bartimaeus, something happens to the crowd too. As soon as that crowd experiences Jesus seeing and loving this man, they are instantaneously transformed from a group who seeks to silence and marginalize to a group who encourages and helps and leads Bartimaeus to the source of his healing. Immediately they go to him and say, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." The immediate reversal in their attitudes and actions is astounding. In Jesus' stillness, and in just three words spoken, everything is changed. The crowd is given the chance to see Bartimaeus the way that Jesus saw him, and they are transformed. And in this story of their transformation lies the hope for ours. Will we be transformed by our encounter with Jesus this day. In word, in sacrament, in gathered body of Christ. Each of us here today has the opportunity to experience the deep love and compassion of Jesus, and to realize that it extends far beyond the bounds of the groups with which we align ourselves. What would it be like to see other people the way that Jesus does? To be moved with compassion, to see others as beloved children of God, instead of seeing the disagreements that lie between us? How might this change our patterns of behavior from ones that marginalize and exclude to ones that facilitate connection and healing? We know from Mark's gospel that after Bartimaeus was healed, he followed Jesus on the way. I like this phrase because it emphasizes that being transformed by the love of God in Jesus Christ leads us into a new way of life. We don't know what happens to the crowd. They were headed out of town with Jesus when the story began, but we don't hear what happens next. Their story remains just as open-ended as ours does. But it is our story of hope. Hope for the healing that is possible in this world because of Jesus. That a group of people who has experienced and been transformed by his love can help to bring about healing, even when it seems completely impossible. We have a unique opportunity as the church to be a gathered people who are not overtaken by a crowd mentality that celebrates our rightness against the wrongness of everyone else. Of course, we know the church has operated in this mode at times, but that is not our true calling. We are called to be people transformed by the radical love of Jesus Christ that defies all categories and boundaries, to be changed by our encounters with Jesus. Our Eucharistic prayer this morning contains some of my favorite lines in all of the Book of Common Prayer, and they've never seemed more relevant. Deliver us, O Lord, from the presumption of coming to this your table for solace only, and not for strength, for pardon only, and not for renewal. It's a bold statement that dares us to come to this table and not be transformed. And it's followed by a request for God's grace. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. When we approach God's table this morning, as Jesus taught us to do, it comes with a risk. We are asking to be transformed. And we know from the healing of Bartimaeus and the transformation of the crowd that miraculous things are possible. When we encounter Jesus in the Eucharist this morning, will we open ourselves to that transformation? Will we go out from that encounter to live our lives as witnesses to the violent and destructive ways of this world? Will we show them that another way is possible? Save, O Lord, your people, we pray. May we be changed this day from the world's ways of violence and exclusion to lives that help transform the world through connection and healing made possible in Jesus. May we never leave this place unchanged. Amen.